So far, we've heard why many individuals might make sacrifices for their close relatives, like the meerkats and also like the bacteria that we heard about. But what about when it comes to individuals that we're not related to? I went for a wander along the banks of the River Cam with Anglia Ruskin University's Claudia Vascher to hear about reciprocal altruism.
Reciprocal altruism means that one individual would show a behavior which is costly for the individual showing the behavior. However, this behavior benefits another individual. So one example would be alarm calling. If one individual gives an alarm call, this is actually costly for the individual because it might attract the predator to itself, but it might benefit individuals in the surrounding. And usually those individuals are not related, so we cannot say that it's benefiting related individuals, but it's unrelated individuals.
So it's like, if I saw someone creeping up on you and they're going to push you in the river over there, and I shouted out, Claudia, be careful, there's someone going to chuck you in the river, they could come and push me in the river. So I'm doing you a service, but I'm also taking a risk myself. So why is it reciprocal then?
Because it is repeated interactions. So usually it is individuals showing this behavior towards other individuals who will help back in future.
So I'm helping you with the expectation that when the tables are turned and you see someone about to push me in the river, you're then hopefully going to warn me.
Yes, exactly.
What other sort of tangible examples are there of this happening then in nature?
So in primates, for example, you would see individuals grooming each other reciprocally. So this can be measured up to the minute sometimes. So one individual would groom another one for 5 minutes and would get exactly the 5 minutes back. There is the alarm calling example, so individuals warn other individuals. This is especially the case in territorial bird species, for example. So here territory neighbors would get familiar to each other, so they know each other, and they would be reciprocal in attacking predators who would enter the territories. Another example is food sharing. For example, the vampire bats would share food with other individuals in a reciprocal manner.
What do they share? A jugular vein or something?
Kind of. So they're quite dependent on finding blood every day because otherwise they would starve to death. So after they have been foraging, they would then meet in caves. And then sometimes there are individuals who haven't found prey during the day. And then other individuals would give them blood.
Jolly generous of them. What's to stop someone cheating the system, though? Because I could rely on you warning me I'm about to go in that river, but I might not return the favour. So how has it evolved, do you think, that actually we do scratch each other's backs?
As reciprocal altruism is depending on repeated interactions, individuals would just stop at some point. So if I see that I'm giving you things, like I'm grooming you all the time or I'm giving you food and I don't get anything back from you, I will just stop the interaction. So this is also a situation where we have inequity aversion, which is a behavior that individuals would respond negatively to a situation where they are treated unequal. So for example, primates have been trained to exchange a piece of food with a human experimenter for another piece of food. And then in this experimental situation, two primates have been tested with the human, and one of the primates would get a grape for exchanging, and the other would get a cucumber, and they like grapes much more than the cucumbers. So at some point, the monkeys receiving the cucumbers actually stopped the interaction, stopped their behavior, they stopped exchanging because they didn't like to be treated unfair. And it went to a point that this monkey being treated unfair would even throw the cucumber at the human experimenter to really show that they really didn't like this behavior.
That's quite high-level cognition, though, isn't it? For me to be able to tell whether you're giving me a bad deal or not, I have to put myself in your shoes and ask, what would you do to me and vice versa? So does that limit what sorts of species are capable of this sort of behaviour?
Yes, definitely. So reciprocal altruism has been suggested as the form of cooperation which takes the most advanced cognition. So there are certain cognitive prerequisites individuals need to have to engage in reciprocal altruism. So one of this is inequity aversion. They need to be able to have an estimate, what are the costs for me? What am I getting out of the interaction? The second thing they need to know is they need to recognize individuals. They need to recognize their cooperation partners and to memorize them, which sounds trivial, but it's not as trivial for non-human animals. And the third thing is that individuals also need to be able to cope with a delay of gratification. Because if I'm doing something which is costly for me now and I only get back the benefit some when in future, I need to be able to cope with this delay, which again sounds very trivial, but we also know even from humans that this is very, very difficult for humans. Imagine somebody tells you, you can have this piece of cake now, or you wait and you will get two pieces somewhere in future. You probably say, like, okay, I don't wait, I just take this piece now.
But some people do have their cake and eat it straight away, don't they? Why do you think this evolved in the first place?
My guess would be that complex societies make it necessary. So if you live in a complex society of unrelated individuals, you probably need to cooperate with each other in order to achieve a common aim. So it's likely that if you're repeatedly interacting with non-related individuals, that a system like this evolves.
Claudia Vacher, and I'm very pleased to say neither of us ended up in the river, thankfully, at the end of that interview.